Thank you for listening to the Prairie Oaks Pulpit Podcast, recorded on the Sunday morning sermons of Prairie Oaks Baptist Church here in Prairie Grove, Arkansas. Wherever you listen to these, we appreciate that you find these Bible teachings profitable for your spiritual growth. We invite you to join us on Sunday mornings. We meet when weather permits in our open-air pavilion, or we meet in the sanctuary just nearby. It is a laid-back worship experience that you won't soon forget. You can also find links to our messages on our YouTube channel, or you can follow us on Facebook at Prairie Oaks to find out more about our current events. And if you'd like to contribute to this teaching ministry, you can follow the links in the notes. But let's get to the message. Exodus 18. We looked at the first half of the chapter looked at it on Mother's Day and saw where Moses honored his father-in-law, and in so doing, he shared the good news of what God had done for the Israelites to Jethro. And Jethro, after hearing what God had done, was prompted to worship and just gave God all the praise. And there's a lot of significant things going on that this priest who had served at the mountain of God was in some ways passing the torch as he modeled for them the giving of sacrifices of the burnt offerings and fellowship offerings with God, with Aaron and the elders of Israel. But that wasn't the end of his stay there. As we're going to see, the next day, he's still there. And there's this conversation. And it's, again, very insightful, not only into Jethro, but into Moses. And also just the load that is there. And so Exodus chapter 18, we're going to begin in verse 13 and read through the end of the chapter. And if you are able, would you stand with me out of respect for God's word? And so it was on the next day that Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood before Moses from morning until evening. So when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did for the people, he said, "What is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit, and all the people stand before you from morning until evening?" And Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a difficulty, they come to me, and I judge between one and another, and I make known the statutes of God and his laws." So Moses' father-in-law said to him, "The thing that you do is not good. Both you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourselves out. For this thing is too much for you. You are not able to perform it by yourself. Listen now to my voice. I will give you counsel, and God will be with you. Stand before God for the people, so that you may bring the difficulties to God. And you shall teach them the statutes and the laws, and show them the way in which they must walk and the work they must do. Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all times. Then it will be that every great matter they shall bring to you, but every small matter they themselves shall judge. So it will be easier for you, for they shall bear the burden with you. If you do this thing, and God so commands you, then you will be able to endure, and all this people will also go to their place in peace." So Moses heeded the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. So they judged the people at all times. The hard cases they brought to Moses, but they judged every small case themselves. Then Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way to his own land. Let's pause again for prayer. Father, we're thankful for the time in your word. I thank you, Lord, for just each one that's come out to participate in the singing and in the prayers and in the time in your word and in fellowship, O Lord. And I just pray, Father, that you, through your word, speak, guide my words, my thoughts, that your spirit would stir in each and every one of us, O Lord. We need to not only learn, but we need to obey. And I pray, Lord, that through your Spirit, your work in us, that we will continue to be changed as we interact with your word, both in this place and in our homes and in our workplaces and in all of our life. And in the name of Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, your Son and our Savior, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And so Moses, you get the picture there. It's great to have my father-in-law here, but now I've got to go back to work. And so he goes, and it's from early in the morning until late in the day. He's there, and people are just coming to him with all these issues. And they've never lived without someone telling them what to do, which is make bricks. You know, they've not had that. They're a brand new people. They are learning all sorts of things here. And I think it's kind of implied that God had already given Moses some details of what life was going to be like. But if you're not sure where we are in the story of Exodus, we're about to get to the point in which he's going to give spelled out, written out, the details of living for God, what the covenant is going to look like. But right now, you know, they're on their way. If we understand where this is in time and chronology. And so Jethro, he's watching this take place. And I think that's almost our first point is Jethro, he's older. You know, Moses is 80. So Jethro is older than that. And so he's watching this. He's watching it go all day. And so he's observed. He's kind of watching what's going on. And then he starts asking questions. And that's just a good reminder for us as well, is that sometimes we don't get all the details just by watching, but we ask. And there's a principle in counseling, and it can be used in a lot of places, but it is to questions prick the conscience, accusations harden the will. That by asking questions, we model what God modeled for us in inquiring. If there is something that needs to be changed, we're more open. If we hear someone asking questions, we get a chance to express where we are in these things. And so asking questions. And that's what we see Jethro do. Now, I'm going to acknowledge that as you read that, I mean, we don't get tone always when we read what the people are saying in the scriptures. So you may be hearing a different tone than what I hear just because of where you come from or whatever. But the tone I hear in that is one of which he's genuinely inquiring. Because you notice he gives Moses time to answer. That it is one of concern. Because when you see him interact with what Moses tells him, that's his concern, is he's concerned for Moses. Moses is his son. That's his. Moses lived with him for 40 years. And so Moses has spent more time in that family than he did in Pharaoh's household or with his Israelite parents. And so there is this concern. And so that's what I hear when I read this, is genuine asking of, you're sitting here all alone, and all these people are standing here from morning to evening, all day. And so he's motivated by concern, and so he observes and he asks. And so Moses tells him, you know, I'm here, and I'm trying to teach these people, and it's a lot. It will be a lot on Moses for the next 40 years. If you ever feel sorry for someone in the scriptures, Moses may be one of the ones you should feel sorry for. Because there's a place in there, and it's an interesting word in that usually it gets translated to us that Moses was the most humble man on the earth. The other way to translate that word humble is miserable. He is the most miserable man on earth. And when you look at the context when it's said, yeah, he's the most miserable man because everybody's against him, even his own sister and brother. So I have some empathy for Moses. I have not had it as bad as he does. But here is Jethro, and he's concerned, and he hears Moses out. And so, again, I'm hearing tone. You may hear a different tone. When Jethro says in verse 17, the thing you do is not good. This is not a good situation. You're going to wear yourself out and wear out all of them as well. Because you can imagine, they would get really cranky after all day standing around to get an answer. You're wearing yourself out. It's too much for one person to do. Because remember, we're not talking about a handful of families. We're not even talking about 70 people. That's what went into Egypt. What's coming out of Egypt is a few million people. And he's the one judge, the arbitrator. It is too much to perform by yourself. And that's where, you know, as we look at this, you know, we were just talking about Vacation Bible School. It was a team effort. Now, I'll try to be real with you. And that is that I would have done things differently in some places. But you know what? They did it according to their, because we delegated, right? It's like, okay, this is yours. So John David, it's yours. And he ran with it, you know, and Holly ran with the music and the crafts and all those things. And that was what needed to be done. Because the reality is that some of those things, I only think I would do them differently. But the reality is the different would have been worse, not better. But we get that way, don't we? We tend to over-evaluate our abilities when we're judging others. And then if someone's looking for volunteers, then we under-evaluate our abilities. But the reality is that I'm not any good at doing crafts. I can barely do them myself, much less lead them. Ditto for singing, ditto for teaching kids, ditto for organizing. Those are not my strengths, but God has equipped the body of Christ with people who are good at those things. And there are things that I am good at. And God is blessed. That's God, not me. And so, you know, and to give you an example of one of those things that I kind of forget sometimes, that's a gift from God, is that I'll forget your name today, but most of the time I remember names. And it just, so there were some parents that came that I hadn't seen since 2 years ago, Vacation Bible School. And yet God helped me remember their name. Praise God. That's God, isn't it? And that wasn't me. Because I'll forget your name, you know, as easily as that. And so it's God. But see, those are little things that as I'm visiting with someone and God gives me their name, then they realize they're special in God's eyes. And that's important. And so those different little things here and there that God uses us and enables us. So it is too much. It is, you're not able to perform it all by yourself. And this is where at the crux of Jethro's advice, his counsel is it's too much for us to do everything. We can't do it all by ourselves. Delegation is a gift from God. And I've learned along the way, sometimes it is harder to teach that thing to be done than it was to do it yourself. But with repetition, then they're able to do it and I'm not doing it. And so in the end, it is better to take that extra time to teach and release. And they'll do it differently. I may feel like I could have done it better, but the reality is that I'm not having to do it because God has other things he needs me to be doing. And so it is a part of God working in the body through the Spirit to empower these different things to get done. But there's an important element in this that I could almost just breeze through that in talking about delegation and us working together and those things that is easy to miss in this story. But it stood out to me this time. And that's why Well, that's why I think God told me to come back to this. And that is that as Jethro talks here, it's really noticeable in verse 19 and again in verse 23. Jethro says, "Listen now to my voice and I will give you counsel, and God will be with you. Stand before God for the people." Moses, this is your number one job. Yes, you are the Supreme Court of the nation of Israel, but your most important job is to stand before God. Do you remember when the apostles were dealing, as the church was growing by the thousands, and there kind of became some dissension because, well, the local widows were getting better taken care of than the ones they didn't know because they were from out of town. And there was some like, well, why aren't ours getting taken care of? And the apostles said there in chapter 6 that you choose men to look over this because we need to be in the word and in prayer. That is our primary responsibility before God and the church. The apostle said that's what we need to be doing with standing before God, being before God. And here, I think the reason they knew that was because that's how Jesus taught them, and they had read it in the Old Testament. That's what Jethro told Moses. That's what God told Joshua. You want to have success in this military campaign? Spend time with me. Meditate on my word. Then you'll be a success in what is most important in your relationship with God. That's the most important thing. And the rest of it will fall into place as God desires. But it is to stand before God. Stand before God for the people so that you may bring the difficulties to God. You're going to have things that are too hard. Bring them to God. But it's all anchored in God will be with you. Emmanuel, God with us. I mean, that is one of the greatest promises carried through the entire scriptures is God with us. God will be with you. And Jethro is telling Moses that's what's most important, but that's also a promise that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And what is that reward? That you will find him. You will find the Lord if you seek him. And he concludes his counsel to Moses in verse 23. If you do this thing and God so commands you, because here's a wise counselor. He says, here's my advice. Filter it through God based on your relationship with God. Is that not empowering? Jethro knows he may not be right on this one. He's right, but he may not be. There's some humility there. And so he says, you filter it through God and make sure, because I want you to be following God more than you follow me. Because that's the real key there. And that's why Paul praised the Bereans when he preached the word to them and they went home and searched the scriptures to see if these things are so. Because he didn't want them following Paul and being followers of Paul. He wanted them to follow Christ, to be people of the book. That's what his desire was. And so he taught them that way. And so Jethro says to Moses, and if this is what God commands you, then you will be able to endure. And these people will go to their place in peace. And so Moses, spend the time with God. Stand before God for the people. You know, someone was telling me just this morning that I've been reading in my Bible each day, each morning. That's what works for them in the morning. But each day, spending time in God's Word. And I know a lot of you, that is your practice. And if it's not, it's a good time to start. You know, Stuart, the rascal, he challenged me to be better at journaling what God is talking to me about. Because one, it sharpens my thoughts as I write it down, and God brings things closer to mind. And so I'm journaling better than I used to. I was not very good at it because I've just given up on it. We get complacent. And so, it was one of those things, God's way of saying, all right, that's what I wanted you to do, even if I have to use Stuart to get you to do it, was rewarding as I immediately started doing it. It's like, he would bring more things to mind as I was writing it down. And again, it clarified those thoughts. But to hear from God, we need time and solitude to hear from God. And Moses, if you're working from morning to evening on this, you don't have time to hear from God to bring those difficulties to God, because you're having too much time with people. And people can exhaust you, can't they? And so it is to make sure there's that time with God so that we've got a word from God when we hear from people. And I think it's interesting. Jethro is in some ways presupposing he knows what's about to happen at Sinai. I kind of think he does. That God is about to say, okay, here's my covenant with you, my new nation. And this is my law. And this is what it looks like to be lived out. Because Jethro says, you know, teach them the statutes and the laws. That's 10 commandments and following. Teach them the way they must walk. The way we convey one with one another in life, at home. And because, you know, God's word is very meddlesome. He gets into your family life. He gets into your work life. He gets into every part of your life, even your very thoughts. He wants to have a talk about that, too. He wants to completely transform us to the image of his son. And he does that through his word, through his spirit. So teach them the way they must walk and the work they must do. And like I said, one part of that is how we do our jobs, to be men and women who reflect him in the way that we work. Because you've heard the stories, you know, the guy that teaches Sunday school on Sunday, but he's a crook on Monday through Friday. That's not a consistency there. And it destroys that ability to witness for God. And he says, and as you're teaching them, see which ones are taking it. Verse 21, moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, capable individuals to lead in this. And what does it look like to be capable? I like it. This is the first qualification for being an able judge. What does it say there? Fear God. Amen. Woe to have a nation in which its leaders fear God. Amen. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And woe upon the nation that rejects God as their Lord. The first qualification. He doesn't say they need to be wealthy. He doesn't say they need to be educated. He doesn't say they need to be eloquent or popular or have a great social media presence. He says they need to fear God. That what goes the filter in their life is, what is God going to say about this? What does Jesus think about this? That is their first qualification, that they are men of truth. They are men of integrity, first and foremost. That what you see is what you don't see. It's the same, inside and out. That they are people of the truth. They speak the truth. They know the truth in the Word of God. And they hate covetousness. No man shall serve two masters, for either hate the one or love the other. He will serve the one and despise the other. No one can serve both God and riches. He said, disqualification if they're greedy. They'll take bribes and they will not do justice. Again, if we know enough about our nation, woe for those leaders that follow after lobbyist money, that follow after what goes in their pockets. Their first qualification to fear God, men of integrity, and to not be greedy. And that's not, this is Father's Day, so I'm preaching at the guys, but the reality is that is a qualification for us all, men, women, boys, and girls. That's who we are called to be, to fear God, people of integrity, and not greedy, not following after the things of this world. Them, according to their capability, then you let them take these smaller matters. Let them judge amongst the families and the tribes and the clans of Israel. Delegate. And then when it's something too hard, they just pass it up. And if it's completely out of hand, then they give it to Moses. Moses, what do we do? And then he'll talk to God, because he won't know what to do either. It's okay to not know. It's okay to say, I need to talk to God about that for a while. Let me get back with you. And so Jethro gives these instructions to Moses. And this is just a beautiful picture of the humility of Moses. Moses did what his father-in-law told him. Moses, I don't know what, you know, his thoughts were. He's leading a nation. Jethro is the priest of Midian, but probably not quite the same level of responsibility as what Moses has on his shoulders right now. But he's like, my father-in-law says this is what I should do. God, okay, you're right. And he does it. He listened to the words of his father-in-law, it says. And he chose and he did. Because trying to do it all by myself is both exhausting and it's short-sighted. It can't be sustained and it won't keep it going beyond me. You know, one of my jobs, one of our jobs as church is to what? Make disciples. Teach the next generation to replace us. To empower them to fear God, to be men and women of integrity, and that are not living for the things of this world. That's what we pass on. And then as they do that, then more comes. More opportunities. Because that's what it is. Delegation is not only sharing responsibility, it's sharing opportunity. Because then they're sharing in the reward. And so Christ designed his church to work. Hey, guys.
Hi.
And so this is the challenge for us, is where are we in those three things? Fearing God. Am I guiding my life by his words? Am I guiding my life by his Spirit? What would Jesus think of what I'm doing? We can't just make that up and go by willy-nillys. It's in here. That's part of the reason we're going through Exodus. Brace yourselves. There's a quiz later on. Life is the quiz. What is it that I've heard before? Test first, lesson later. Sometimes that's how God works, isn't it? But to fear God, to be people of integrity, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Psalm 19:14. I want inside and out to be examined by God. Search me out. Psalm 139. I think it's 139 says. See, I can't always remember the reference either. But it is God that can look on the heart. But he can give me insight into that. And so whatever the Holy Spirit is prompting this morning, Miss Holly and Matt are going to come. And if you guys want to lead us in a song of invitation, and then the rest of us respond with whatever the Spirit is prompting us this morning, whatever decisions, whatever changes that He wants to make in us. But if you will stand.
If you'll turn to page 337, 337.
Thank you for listening to the Prairie Oaks Pulpit Podcast. We pray for you that you are blessed by these messages, and we're praying that you join us again next time as we continue our series in God's Word.